Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
It's time now. It starts now.
Burns and Gambo talk Suns Timberwolves now.
5 o'clock hour here on the Burns and Gambo show on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
We both... Tip jar.
Wow.
Flock of Seagulls.
Flock of Seagulls. I ran as a tip jar song for John Gambadoro.
I'm going with it. What do you think?
I'll put a tip in Lauren's jar for this one. Sure.
This song is in one of my favorite scenes from arguably my favorite movie of all time. So.
Wait, give me the movie. What was the movie?
La La Land.
Oh, La La Land.
It was a great outfit by Ryan Gosling.
I forgot this one was in La La Land. Gambo, low-key fact about you, do like a good musical, and you have not seen La La Land, right?
I've not seen La La
Land. You really should see La La Land.
What's it about?
It's a musical about two kind of star-crossed people in Hollywood. One's an actress and one's a musician, and it's about both of them trying to figure out whether...
I liked the one where the Beatles never existed. Loved it. The Bruce Springsteen one.
Okay. This is like a pure musical.
I loved Grease.
It's more like Grease.
I love the sound of music.
That's like the sound of music. You should... Emma Stone, Ryan Gosling.
I was going to say his favorite actress.
It's got your girl.
It's
Emma
got
Stone,
your girl.
It's my
in
girl.
It.
Emma Stone.
My girl.
No idea who she is, yeah.
She won the Academy Award for it. You should. If you like musicals, you should see La La Land. Absolutely.
I think we've got to play... For the final Coyotes game tomorrow, I hope you had the time of your life.
Okay.
I think tomorrow's theme should be, I hope you had the time of your life.
It's ironic because the title of that song is Good Riddance, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, man.
The title of the song is Good Riddance, but it's I hope you had the time of your life by Green Day. I think we should also give them a little Black Keys Howlin' for You, since that's kind of been their song for...
We'll have
some Coyote-themed music
tomorrow. You should think about it, but tomorrow should be an all-themed...
Nothing to think about. Done.
Werewolves in London. Howlin' for You. We've got options. Yeah, we've got options for that. All right. So tip jar for Lauren. Gambo's got La La Land on his to-do list.
Alvarado and D'Angelo and D'Lo getting into it.
Yeah,
oof.
Just throwing ball
watching
out.
Watching this?
Scott Foster. Yeah, watching all of this. Jose Alvarado is such a little pest, isn't he? He is such a little nuisance.
I got the Pelicans in this game. You got the Lakers.
I do have the Lakers, yes.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, he's chest to chest in there. Yeah, they're just thumping each other right now. Pelicans are beating the Lakers 31-26 with about a minute to go. In the first quarter of that game. Of course, the winner advances to play the Nuggets. The loser will then wait for the winner of tonight's other game, the 9-10 matchup.
Would this
between
be us
the Warriors
right now?
And Kings. Yes, this would be us. Had the Suns
be us right now.
Had the Suns finished seventh, we would have had a short show and we'd be playing right. The Suns would be playing right now. Yes. This would be us. Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Yep, but it's not.
I'm glad it's not.
me too, brother. Me too. So, the Suns, T-Wolves, and Frank Vogel. And he met with the media today and was asked how he prepares his team for this upcoming physical matchup against Minnesota.
I'd say the last 10 games of our season has prepared us for that. We've gotten our tails kicked a few times, quite frankly, and there's been lessons learned in those types of situations that I think have helped strengthen us. I think we showed more offensive toughness the final three games of the year than we had, in some of the prior games. And, hopefully that stretch took care of that.
We're entering, Gambo, a new phase of our relationship with Frank Vogel. We get to see him as a playoff coach for the first time. Certainly not in the NBA. He's obviously taken the Pacers and, of course, the Lakers there. But having kind of gotten used to Monty Williams and what kind of playoff coach he was, now we get to find out about Frank and how he adjusts over the course of a series and the moves and the counter moves and the adjustments that take place in a series.
Oh, so important.
If there's one thing we've learned is how essential that is over the course of a series. And now we get to find out how Frank Vogel is at managing all of that stuff. We don't really know for sure.
It was something that was a weakness for Monty. Monty Williams was not great at the in-game adjustments and trying to figure out what to do. He was a good motivator. The players liked him. He was a good players coach. There were good things about Monty. There really were good things about him. But there were negatives about him, and one of them came to when other teams were able to make adjustments. You know, we've seen Denver do it to the Suns. We've seen Milwaukee do it to the Suns in the NBA Finals. We've seen Dallas
big
when
time.
They were down 2-0 make those adjustments. And the Suns never countered them. They never did a good job of countering those adjustments. And, you know, sometimes you can't just make adjustments at halftime. You have to make adjustments during the game. You don't have 15 minutes to think about it. Like, you've got to make adjustments on the fly. We're going to find out about Vogel because the adjustments in the playoffs are much different than the adjustments in the regular season. You know, you are going to run your guys out there. You're going to shorten your bench. You're going to run your starters out there, and you're going to use them more. But there are going to be things that they do to take away some of your strengths, and you got to figure out a way how to get those strengths back.
Yeah, and I would think probably the biggie, and one that we've just talked about so much, is the small ball option for Frank, and when he goes to it, and how often he uses it, and how well does it work, and what kind of spark does it give him, and what kind of foul trouble does Nurkic get into? And is it Drew Eubanks who comes in, or is it Thaddeus Young who comes in when that happens? It's certainly not the biggest X factor in the series, but I think when we're talking about Frank, it's the biggest X factor for him, because that's been something that we've all watched with great interest. When they use that lineup, how effective it is, when it's time to go back to a more traditional lineup. I think from his standpoint, that's the thing I'm going to be watching more than anything else. How often does he use that? Because as we've learned, it can be terribly effective at times, right? Like they go small, and sometimes it's an almost impossible lineup for the other team to stop defensively when they go five out and they have all those shooters on the floor like that.
Right, right. And that's, listen, it was just a few days ago. I mean, Evan Sittery had a story about, there's a growing buzz around Frank Vogel's job security at Phoenix. And at this point, this was just on April 10th. So 6 days ago, the Suns are 13-11 since the All-Star break. So, you know, they were 13-11 since the All-Star break. They won the last couple of games. It feels a little bit better. But there's always been that talk about, what happens to Vogel if this team loses to Minnesota?
Yeah.
If they lose in the second round of Denver, like, what's going to happen to this team? And that's something we don't know. And we're going to find out. We'll find out right away, too. I don't think if they decide to move on from Vogel or not, we'll find that out pretty quickly. But I think that a lot of people are looking at Frank Vogel and said, okay, all right, they brought you here. Now see if you could get this team to where they need to go. See if you can get this team a championship with your coaching is going to factor into these games.
I think in part they brought him here, to your point, they brought him here because he can say, I know what it takes to win a championship this time of year. I've done it. I've got the ring. I've got the experience, and I've done this thing before. And that's frankly why you hire a coach like Frank Vogel, is because he's got that ability to say that. I mean, you're right. We don't know what's going to happen. I think it's fairly easy to speculate that if this thing ends earlier than anybody thinks, between Matt Ishbia's money, between what happened last year with Monty and how quickly that decision came down, I think if this thing ends pretty early, it's pretty fair to speculate that Frank might be in trouble. And I think this is also a time of year and a storyline to watch with what happens in the Clippers-Mavs series as well. Because right. If the Clippers end up wrapping up their series earlier than expected and they get eliminated early, there could be some wholesale changes with that organization. And Ty Lue, I'm not saying he's the end-all be-all, although he is for me as a coach. If he should suddenly become available, that might be an equation changer for the Phoenix Suns based off of their decision on Frank. You know, it's something to watch.
Yeah, listen, there's been 3, 4, 5 times this year where the fans would have loved to have fired Frank this year. It didn't happen. They stayed with them. They finished strong, 7-3. They got the 6th seed. They're not playing in a play-in tournament. But there was a lot of calls throughout the season.
No doubt.
At least 3, 4, or 5 in which you were saying, okay, let's, you know, people wanted to fire Frank, but they didn't. And they stuck with it because, you know, he needed time to figure this team out. And I think in some ways he had. A lot of people were criticizing him for some of the adjustments he was making in the last couple of games. You know, when they started Royce O'Neal and then they brought Grayson Allen off the bench. And instead of playing Eubanks as the backup, they played Thad Young. And it was like, okay, why are you making these moves now? Why didn't you do them earlier? And so there's always been criticism on Frank and the things he's done. And some of it is definitely warranted. But we're going to have to see how this playoff series goes to see if he could take his coaching to another level.
When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, it's been talked about for days. Are the Suns the nightmare matchup for the Minnesota Timberwolves? And are the Timberwolves thinking about that before they take the court on Sunday? We'll talk about it coming up here on Arizona Sports.
Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
It's time now. It starts now.
Burns and Gambo talk Suns Timberwolves now.
So the Suns, everything goes their way. They get the Lakers win. They get the win over Minnesota. They get the Thunder win. They get the Nuggets win. They clinch the series against the Minnesota Timberwolves. They lock in a series against the Timberwolves, a team that they're 3-0 against this year and have dominated during the regular season. Karl-Anthony Towns, after the game on Sunday, has spent 9 years with the Timberwolves, and he smiled in the locker room after the game when he said it was, quote, the Minnesota way, close quote, for them to deal with it like this. He went on to say there's no better team to be playing in the first round than a team that we struggled with all year. If there was ever a time for this team to earn its shot at a parade here or to get to the second round, it's only right it would be against the team that we found most difficult for ourselves this year, close quote. There, Gambo, you know this as well as I do. There are so many people who are saying exactly the same thing, who are writing the same thing, who are backing it up with very real stats and very real numbers that point to how advantageous this is for the Suns. I don't know about you. That stuff's starting to make me really nervous, right? Like, just careful what we're wishing for, guys, here. Let's all slow down with this just a little bit, right?
I remember a time when we were rooting for the Dallas Mavericks to be the opponent Phoenix Suns.
I sure do. Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We were rooting for the Dallas Mavericks to be the opponent. That was the, what was the 22 playoffs? Is that what it was?
That was the 2022 playoffs, yes.
2022
sir.
Playoffs. Like, okay, that's this is great. This is what you want. You want the Mavs. You want the Mavs. And you got them in this. So the Suns were the one seed that year. They were the one seed. They beat the Pelicans in a tough series. And then they played the Mavs, and the Suns were the one seed. The Mavs were the four seed. And the Mavs had beaten the Jazz to get to that, and then the Suns lost to the Mavs. And you're like, what the heck? You know?
Yeah.
I was like, but you wanted them. Like, you wanted to you wanted the Mavs over the other side of the bracket, which was like Golden State. And
I think it was mostly Golden State. I think that's who we were
Golden
trying
State
to stay
you were
away
trying
from.
To avoid.
I think so,
right.
If I remember it right. Yeah.
Yeah, because one played four, two played three. It was the Grizzlies that year that were two. The Warriors were three, and you wanted to make sure that, hey, you don't want the Warriors. And the Warriors ended up, you know, obviously going to the NBA Finals that year and winning it all. But you wanted to avoid the Mavericks, and look what you got. You got beat in the second round.
Yeah, look, all the numbers point to this being, and a lot of this is based off of the regular season, which is I think kind of the flimsy argument that you can make. The argument that's where it's flimsy is that you're saying regular season this, regular season that. Well, it's not, it doesn't always work that way, and anybody who follows the NBA knows that. But all the numbers point to, I love this one you sent me earlier today. Phoenix scored 123.7 points per 100 possessions. That's the best mark against the Wolves for any Western Conference opponent. The Suns offense against Minnesota has been as good this year as Boston's offense has been for the season, right? That's been one of the top offenses in the NBA. We know about the dominance in the three games. We know that the Suns at no point in any of the three games they've played against the T-Wolves this season in the regular season have the Suns led by less than double digits in the second half. Three games, three second halves, the Suns have never led by less than 10 points at any point in any of those three games.
Yeah.
And yet I'm still, you know, like all the talk yesterday was, oh man, this is great. They got the matchup where they wanted. Look at this dominance. Look at that dominance. And then you're right. You think about the Mavs series, and it very much turns into a be careful what you wish for kind of scenario. And I hope, I hope the Suns don't get overconfident because of that. I really do.
Yeah, listen, you go through the 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds in the NBA playoffs. One of those top four seeds is not going to advance. Maybe two of them don't advance. Maybe it's the Suns that win. Maybe it's not. But somebody's going to lose. I mean, maybe it's the Clippers. They lose to Dallas as the four seed. These teams are so the West was so crazy this year. We talked about it the other day. The Golden State Warriors are the best 10 seed that in the history of the NBA. Nobody's ever had a better record as a 10 seed than the Golden State Warriors. Nobody. So it's very close. You could look at the regular season or you won three games. I get it, right? I mean, the Lakers have dominated the Pelicans all year long. It's a two-point game right now with 6 minutes left in the second quarter. Yeah. This is going to be a dogfight. This is going to be this game right now, Lakers-Pelicans, is going to be different than the other three games in which the Lakers won by 87 points. Mm-hmm. Three games by 87. The Suns beat the Timberwolves in three games by like 40-something. The Lakers beat the Pelicans by 80-something. This game's going to be different. The Suns and Timberwolves is going to be different. It just is. So part of the reason why it's because, man, these teams are all so closely talented. They really are.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that because Evan Cohen today on Unsportsmanlike basically said the same thing. It's not that unreasonable to think that seeds 1, 2, or 3 in the West could lose. I'll let him explain.
I'm not saying it's likely, but it is not crazy, Smalls, that the 1, 2, and 3 seeds in the Western Conference all lose in the first round. If LeBron James beats Jokic in the first round, that's that surprising? Western Conference would have to be Lakers would beat the Pelicans and play the Nuggets. So, and then the winner of the Kings and the Warriors would have to be the Warriors for me. Then they beat the Pelicans, and you'd have the Thunder and the Warriors in the first round. Is it that crazy to think the Warriors could win that? To me, no. You'd have the Nuggets and the Lakers in the first round. I could see the Lakers potentially winning. And Phoenix beating Minnesota is not that crazy at all.
Yep, nope, not at all. He's not wrong.
He does the show with the guy from Sandlot.
From what? From Sandlot?
Smalls? Was he doing the show with Smalls? Like, I don't know that show. But he said Smalls. Is he doing the show with
Smalls refers to Michelle Smallman, who is a part of that trio in the morning.
How cool would it be? Like, he's doing the show with the guy from Sandlot.
Killing me, Smalls.
Yeah.
Does he know how to make a s'more now? That's all I know.
You're killing me, Smalls.
Yeah, I thought for a second, I don't know. Like, I don't know that podcast. I don't know. Like, I don't know these people. I'm just like, wow, that's pretty cool if Smalls was doing the show.
That would have been pretty cool. That would have been very, very cool. Something Kellen said earlier really resonated with me. We might have to talk about it more as the week goes on.
Okay.
And that's that, unfortunately for us, the Suns have been one of those teams that have struggled in moments where they probably felt super overconfident in their ability to beat a team. You know, like hey, the Spurs don't have Victor Wembanyama, no problem. You know, the Thunder don't have SGA, yeah, no problem. We're fine. We got this. No Kawhi, no James Harden. Yeah, we got this. I hope they don't do that for this series.
I can't imagine. Playoffs are going to be different.
I hope so. But, man, I'll be honest with you. When it comes to my trust level in this team to not do that, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I've got any. Like, I trust the Suns to handle a situation to not be overconfident when they shouldn't be. They have routinely failed at that all year long. I got real trust issues when it comes to this basketball team to not be overconfident and suffer because of it, because of their overconfidence.
Yeah, like Kevin Zimmerman asked us all to make our predictions. Like, I can't see me not... Like Kellen Olson already said, he's taking the Timberwolves.
Yeah.
I can't see me not taking the Suns because I think they're peaking at the right time. I think they're, I mean, we had Yusuf Nurkic on. I don't know if we have the cut, but I asked him, are you playing your best basketball of the season right now? And he said yes, that they were playing their best basketball of the season. So I think that,
you know, I think there's no argument about that. Everybody can agree on that. You know, it's a really good time to be at your best, healthy. Like I said, I think our main goal was to be healthy, and I think we, you know, fight really hard to get that sixth seed without being playing, so we can, you know, even having week off not playing, I think that's helped everybody.
Lauren with the trigger finger over there.
There you go. I was trying to stall for a second.
But quick draw, Lauren, finding the cut. Good job.
Now you brought up some interest. Like, Kevin Durant's not playing his best basketball this season right now.
As a matter of fact,
he might be playing some of his worst basketball this season right now.
Yeah, Devin Booker's
but
been
the team.
Wildly inconsistent. But the team feels like it's kind of evened itself out a little bit. There's just been the clunkers. The clunkers, man, just stick in my mind, Gambo. The Clippers clunker, the two Clippers clunkers, the Thunder game. Yeah, overall, they are playing a better brand of basketball, but I too will pick the Suns to win this series. I don't know if I'm going to feel great about it, but I'm going to pick them to win the series, I think, when I write that piece for the website. When we come back, on the Burns and Gambo show, one of the more respected NFL insiders in the industry released his latest mock draft. And for the first time, somebody went there when it comes to what the Cardinals were going to do. Where is there? We'll tell you on the Burns and Gambo show.
D-backs, Cubs. Don't miss pregame coverage of Game 2 of the series tonight at 6 on Arizona Sports 98.7 and the Arizona Sports app.
The Lakers have dropped a hammer on New Orleans, man. In the third quarter of this game.
12, dropped by 12.
A hammer.
C.J. McCollum just missed the three. They can't make a shot. This is why you didn't want to play the Lakers in a scenario like this. You just don't want to play LeBron James in a one-game scenario.
31-10 so far in the second quarter of this game, the Lakers have outscored. Now, they're only up by, 13, but they've outscored New Orleans 31-10 in the second quarter of this game. Wow. They haven't taken full control of the game, but boy, this second quarter has been as one-sided as it can be. 57-44 with about 140 to go in the first half of this game. The winner gets the Denver Nuggets in the first round. The loser will then wait for the winner of tonight's Warriors-Kings game, which is going to be something else we'll certainly keep an eye on. And then, of course, the winner of that game gets the final playoff spot in which they'll take on the top seed, Oklahoma City Thunder. Tomorrow, it's all the play-in action in the Eastern Conference, but that's where things stand right now. The Lakers have opened up a 58-44 lead. All right, Peter Schrager's mock draft today went somewhere that we've talked about. You and I have discussed it. Not a lot. As a possibility, when we talk about trade down scenarios, I think we focused more on Minnesota or maybe Denver or some other teams like that. But I know we've talked about it, and that is the New York Giants at number 6. Schrager's first mock draft, and I think he's one of these guys who only does one mock. I could be wrong, but I think he's only
got the
one.
That.
I do. You know what? My team's on the floor. This is my mock draft, and I'm going to ride or die with it. I like that. In his mock draft, he's got the Arizona Cardinals making a trade with the New York Giants. The Giants move up to 4. They take J.J. McCarthy. They give the Cardinals this year's third-round pick and next year's second-round pick. The Cardinals drop back 2 spots, and after Marvin Harrison goes to the L.A. Chargers at number 5, the Cardinals take Rome Odunze with the 6th pick in the draft.
Yeah, so you get a second and a third-round pick, and you still end up with the second best wide receiver on the board. That's not a bad situation, because a lot of the other trade scenarios have you missing out on the top 3 guys. Has you missing out on all 3 top 3 wide receivers. They desperately need a wide receiver. They do. They need a playmaker. They need a guy. They need a guy for Kyler Murray to hasn't had one in a while. Hollywood Brown wasn't that guy. Fitz has been gone for a while. He hasn't had that guy. He needs that guy. Hopkins has been gone for a year now. So I think that the Giants scenario gives you the ability to add a couple of picks. They may not be a first rounder or a future first rounder, but a second and a third is good, and you still get the second best wide receiver. If you've got the wide receivers rated very close, it's worth doing. If you don't, then it's not worth doing.
Yeah, and I've all along I've thought for me the best scenario would be trade out of 4 and then trade back in to get one of the 3. This, in essence, does the same thing. Now, you might not get an extra first-round pick out of the deal, but this, in essence, gets you where you want to go. Rome Odunze, for what it's worth, was a guest on Adam Schefter's podcast, and he stated his case as to why he thinks he's the best wide receiver in this draft.
Yeah, I think I'm wide receiver 1 in this upcoming draft. And, that's not, a knock at any of the receivers in the draft, including those two. I think they're, tremendously talented, tremendously skilled. But for me, I just think I bring a skill set, bring a mindset that is unmatched. And I think, on film, you can see that through my combine performances, through, the team interviews. I feel like I'm just a little bit different. But, that's not to say that those guys aren't skilled, though. You know what I mean? Like, the wide receiver class is so deep. Like, it's amazing to see, how many great wide receivers are coming into this draft. And I'm like, man, any team would be blessed to have any of us. So Just super grateful to, you know, be mentioned as one of the top. But for me, I see myself as number one.
Well, the real question here is the Giants, and not that they're married to Daniel Jones, because they're not. They're not married. The general manager there, he's not the one who drafted Daniel Jones. We've certainly seen, you know, that influence things when it comes to decisions like this. They, you know, all the speculation is on Minnesota moving up to get the guy. But if they don't believe Daniel Jones is the guy, and there's plenty of reason to believe that he's not, you know, that's, and then you think about it too, from the expense of moving up, like you've talked many times about JJ McCarthy, and is he really worth giving up all those picks to do it?
Right.
If you're only giving up a second round pick and a third round pick, at least if it doesn't work out, you don't feel like you've gutted yourself to make it happen. You know, you can kind of survive that a little bit better than maybe giving up future first. You know what I'm talking about?
I agree. I mean, you could live with that. Like, okay, what did we do? We gave him a second and a third. We tried to get a quarterback, and it didn't work. If it does, and you've got a franchise quarterback, great. But if it doesn't, it's not like you gave up three first-round picks. The Trey Lance San Francisco thing, right?
Right.
Now, San Francisco is able to get away with this because they got a guy in the seventh round that's pretty good, and they've been able to win and go to Super Bowls and have success. But the reality is, like, that's not usually how it works. Usually when you give up a lot of draft picks and it doesn't work, you end up being haunted by it for years.
Adam Schefter today on SportsCenter said, yeah, the Vikings are in a good spot to trade up, but watch out for the Giants.
The Vikings are best positioned to move up to J.J. McCarthy. Now, they could sit there. They could sit there at 11 and see if somehow, some way, he makes his way to them. But if they don't want to risk that and they don't want to get jumped by another team behind them for J.J. McCarthy, they're going to have to then trade up to either 4, Arizona, 5, Los Angeles, or another team, maybe again, before the Giants have their pick at 6, and the Giants have done a private workout with J.J. McCarthy, have had him to New York to visit with him and have dinner with him. They spend a lot of time with him. They say that they have other needs, but their actions have to tell you another story because they put an awful lot of work into quarterbacks
they
here.
They say they have other needs. Their actions tell a different story. They've put a lot of work in at the quarterback position. Interesting. Really interesting. I'm not going to lie to you, Gambo. I kind of like this scenario. I do.
You like the second or third rounder?
Moving down to 6, still getting one of the top guys, getting some extra assets to be able to do it. Yeah,
You like that better than Minnesota? Getting like maybe... Yeah,
because with Minnesota, there's no guarantee you're going to move back up to get one of the top guys. You know, I only like the Minnesota option if you're going to tell me they can now take those extra assets and move back into the top 8 or 7 or 6 or whatever to get... This way, I know I'm going to get one of the top 3 wide receivers, and I still get extra assets. This idea is growing on me quite a bit. I like it.
Because you still get the top wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, time for what's on tonight.
Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Burns and Gambo, what's on tonight?
Are the games that we're going to watch this evening, and it is brought to you by Global Credit Union. 12 branches here to serve you. Become a member today at globalcu.org. Diamondbacks baseball, we're going to preview game 2 of their series against the Cubs coming up in here in a bit. We've also got NBA basketball play-in style to watch tonight. They're at the half. The Lakers have a 10-point lead over the Pelicans. 60-50 is the score there. The winner gets the Nuggets in the next round. The loser waits for the winner of tonight's 9-10 matchup, which is also what we're watching tonight, the Sacramento Kings versus the Golden State Warriors. Got anything else you're watching tonight, or are you pretty full?
No, just these two games. Like, now these games matter a lot more. Zion just went coast to coast to score at the buzzer, a basket. The Pelicans are down. They were up by 8, I think, at one point. Now that was it 10 they're down?
10, yeah, 60-50, yep.
Yeah, at home, so we'll see if they can come back. The Lakers look good right now.
That's what's on tonight, brought to you by Global Credit Union. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo Show, D-backs look to get back in the win column. They're going to be without another key guy tonight, but hopefully not for too long. We'll update you with the latest from the D-backs coming up here on Arizona Sports.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on Deck, brought to you by Sonic. Drive to your nearest Sonic location for the Oreo Big Scoop Cheesecake Sundae for a limited time only at Sonic. And by 72 Sold. 72 Sold. Get a higher price for your home.
Let's try this again tonight from Chase Field. Diamondbacks and the Cubs, take two. Last night didn't go so hot for the Diamondbacks, losing 3-2 in 11 innings, despite having a 2-1 lead going into the top of the ninth. They couldn't hold that lead, and they fall to the Chicago Cubs. Take two tonight. Your pitching matchup features Tommy Henry, the lefty for the Diamondbacks, getting the start. He's 0-1 with a 5.79 ERA. Kyle Hendricks gets the start tonight for the Cubs. He is 0-2 on the season so far, and it's not been a good season so far for Kyle Hendricks. He's rocking an ERA of 12.08, Gambo. Lauren, our Cubs fan, is shaking her head on the other side of the glass right now.
He's allowed 5+ runs in 3 straight outings for the first time in his career. He surrendered at least 8 hits in 3 starts for the first time in his career. So he's really struggling right now. So fourth start of the season tonight, the third on the road. 250th career start for him, but absolutely off to a terrible start for the Cubbies.
Yeah, whereas Tommy Henry, he has rebounded a little bit from his first start of the season. He started against Colorado the first week of the season. He went 4 innings. He gave up 6 hits, 5 earned runs. Since then, against Atlanta and Colorado, he hasn't gone super deep into the games. He's given them 5 innings each time. But in each outing, he only gave up 2 earned runs in each outing. He gave up 6 hits against Atlanta, 4 hits against Colorado, struck out 11 combined in the 2 games compared to 5 walks, gave up a couple of homers in those 2 starts. But Henry is a guy who, especially with Jordan Montgomery coming, and we've got news about that coming up in just a moment or two, there's going to be a decision in terms of whose spot is Montgomery going to take in the rotation. And I would imagine Tommy Henry might feel like he's pitching for a spot in the rotation with tonight.
Yeah, might be a good get today against the Cubbies too. This is the first time in their last 11 games that they're going to face a left-handed pitcher. They haven't faced a left-handed pitcher since April 2nd when they faced Kyle Freeland. So only 2 times so far they faced a lefty. So they have not seen a lot of lefties as far as starting pitching is concerned. So that could fall into Tommy Henry's favor.
Yeah, does he need tonight? I don't know if need is a strong word, but certainly after the great outing that Ryan Nelson posted over the weekend against St. Louis, if he wants to stay in the rotation, it certainly would be helpful to him, which is leads us right to the injury report. Today's injury report is brought to you by Wilderness Athlete. Accelerate your recovery with Hydrate and Recover from Wilderness Athlete at wildernessathlete.com. We'll get to Montgomery in a second. The big injury news coming out of the Diamondbacks today. Gabriel Moreno was scratched for a right thumb contusion. It happened during the wild pitch last night, the one that Kevin Ginkle threw that allowed the tying run to score in the top half of the ninth inning. He bruised his thumb. You heard Torey Lovello after the game say, based off of where it hit Gabby, he kind of thought the ball was going to go to his left, and he really didn't think it was going to go to his right, which is what allowed that run to score from second base. But because he bruised his thumb, he's out tonight. He won't play. But the team just announced about a half hour ago that he is considered available for tonight's game. So while he won't start, he is available and there off the bench if they need him. So that's really good news.
Yeah, I mean, that means that there's no long-term worries. That's just Lovello saying, I'll give you a blow. I mean, obviously, that hand had to be something with it. He probably could play today if it was a playoff game. But, give him the day. Let him chill, as Devin Booker likes to say. Not worry about anything. If you could use him later on as a pinch hitter if you need to. Chill today.
There's always the chill. You can always go back to the chill. The other injury report, Paul Sewald, who's working his way back into the closer's role off of the injury that he suffered during spring training. 25-pitch bullpen today at Salt River Fields, according to our Alex Weiner, who's down there at Chase Field right now. 25-pitch bullpen today. Jordan Montgomery threw 44 pitches in the bullpen, according to Torey Lovello. So next up for Sewald, we're not quite sure if it's another bullpen or live batting practice or if he plays in a game. Not quite sure. Montgomery's debut is also to be announced, but the expectation is that contractually, Montgomery has to be on the big league club by April 19th. So we're expecting Montgomery to make a start for the Diamondbacks very, very soon, sometime in the next 3 or 4 days, likely.
Yeah, that'll be good. They'll get him in there, solid pitcher, and then you work on it getting Eduardo Rodriguez back. At this point now with all the injuries, I just want to see guys start to come back. Get Montgomery. Montgomery's not injured, but get him back. Get Paul Sewald back. Get Alec Thomas back, and let's see what this team can do.
Yeah, Alec Thomas is the one. He continues to get at-bats in these simulated games, but the base running, the defensive work, he's still really taking it easy with the hamstring, which suggests it might have been a little worse than we initially thought when that injury came down. All right, let's get you an update on the roof for tonight's game if you're headed down to the ballpark.
D-backs Roof Report on Arizona Sports 98.7 in the Arizona Sports app. Brought to you by Renco Roofing. Over and above for 20 years and counting.
The roof is open. The panels are open. First pitch temperature expected to be around 81 degrees. So it once again should be a really nice night for a baseball game at Chase Field.
Love it.
Yes.
Love it. I was out there yesterday. Day game tomorrow. I'll probably go to that day game for a while before we do our show. But it was good to be out at the ballpark yesterday. Love Washington.
Yeah.
Ran into Mark Grace yesterday. Talked to Gracie for a little bit. It's great being at the ballpark.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll have a little bit of a shorter show tomorrow with the day game for the D-backs. We'll be on as soon as that game is over. So we're looking forward to that. And obviously tomorrow's going to be a busy day, I'm sure, talking about the Coyotes. Let's get you a key to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
Arizona Sports, the home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball. D-backs keys to the game. Driven by Trucks Only, the Valley's number one independent dealer and home of the lifetime engine warranty.
Tommy Henry walked three batters in his last outing against Colorado in just five innings. In three starts, he's got seven walks so far. And one thing that the Cubbies are really good at, Bernsey, is drawing walks. They've got 60 walks on the season. Their walk rate is 10.6%, the second best in the National League. So they take pitches. They try to work in the count. They try to draw those walks, get those free base runners. So if you're Tommy Henry, they haven't seen a lefty in a while, but be wary of the walks. The Cubs have some success when they can get guys on base through the bases on balls.
Don't forget, Gambo's key to the game usually is very, very accurate in predicting things that happen the next day. So just keep that in mind. It's going to do it for us. We're out of here. Diamondbacks baseball is next. We'll see you tomorrow straight up 2 o'clock right here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Have a great night, everyone.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.